wrestling fans, to a brand new episode of Squared Circle Society. I am Daniel Shine, joined as always by Todd, Too Sweet Loya, Pugs Dread, and Ozzy B. Gentlemen, how goes your evenings?
Fantastic.
I'm chilling.
Namaste. Not bad at all.
Not too bad. Not too bad. I'll live in the purge, but not too bad other than that. So, you know, sanity finally got over, I guess. So, yeah, I had to do a wrestling reference. I mean, can't just go.
This is a wrestling show. So
that was a big miss. Sanity was fucking awesome.
They were awesome, and they messed it up, and it would have made sense right now. So, but anyways, alas. So, yes, Squared Circle Society, probably our first normal episode in a while because we've been doing Dark Side of the Ring. Speaking of which, you can see our exclusive Dark Side of the Ring on Owen Hart on patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. The episode Too Wild to put on YouTube. So check that out. And so lots of stuff happening in the wrestling world. I'm happy to see actual crowds back, which is, well
actual crowds.
Developmental talent making noise, at least. I'm happy to have the noise back. That's the thing. People to play to. So first we're going to get started because I think we might be two on two on this one, I think. And that is the AEW pay-per-view, which I don't have a lot to say. I will say this. I enjoyed it up until the main event. Nothing's mind-blowing, but, you know, had a decent enough time. I'm sorry. That was stupid. That should not have been a main event to a pay-per-view. Yes, I know it's a strange time, but you could have had some cool stuff done in a football field and still made it a real match. And I don't quite get, like, after Shad Gaspard having Matt Hardy drowned in a pool. But
that was a bad call, but that doesn't make the match.
No, I'm not going off that. That was, yeah, I was like,
you kind of put it in your intro, so you kind of were.
Well, I'm surprised like somebody didn't say, hey guys, maybe not,
because maybe it wasn't malicious at all. Like, he didn't think about
it. Was
that
meant, if you, because I remember seeing that spot again, and it was done so he could switch his gimmicks. Yeah. So yeah, because they shifted the focus on that. I think that's why they didn't see it as something in poor taste.
Yeah, there you go.
Didn't he say he snuck in and he filled it with the waters of Lake, whatever the fuck
Lake of Reincarnation. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, get off your high horse.
I didn't like it. I just,
But yet he liked like Broken Universe stuff. See, that's what I don't get. Why is one okay and one's not? I mean, we're not talking John Cena versus The Fiend.
But it's not main eventing a pay-per-view. That's the thing. I don't mind the comedy.
Broken Universe is main evented.
Yeah, but still, you have something that's an actual match in the ring. We've kind of been over
not
that.
Not really.
Like, Boneyard match, good.
They had, wait. But no, you're saying, which was not anywhere close to an actual match because there was no fucking ring.
There were still guys fighting.
But there were still guys fighting on this.
Yeah.
John Cena Bray Wyatt was not a fight.
I'm not arguing that. That's what I'm saying. That's the ultimate extreme.
Yeah, I just, number one, there was just too much like Paige on the horse looking like a dork, just in the back. Funny. Not
I
even
thought he looked cool. Yeah, I was laughing my ass off. And then he had a bar fight because he's you know a drunk asshole.
You know, Dan hated those APA segments in the bar. So
when it came to the Rumble, like for me, if the whole promotion was just promoted as comedy wrestling, I would be it would be a lot easier for me to get on board. But if they're continuing to push like sports,
real sports, feel.
Like.
They've pulled back on that. If you want to,
and
be honest.
Here's what's actually frustrating. And yeah, I get that. But what's
but
frustrating
they gave us
is that
too.
Yeah,
even with comedy still needs to have some stuff that makes somewhat sense, right? So, and the reason I bring that up is because there was at one point when, the Bucks were flagged for excessive celebration.
Yes,
but that penalty no longer is in effect. Like that's over 2 years old. So when they did that, it was kind of like telling an old joke. And B, yeah. Why is one of the Bucks super kicking the referee if they're supposed to be the faces in this match? Like if you're gonna do that,
I'm gonna defend that because they've totally like made the refs look like shit in that promotion. So I can't even. It's just another thing.
They so bullshit call. They just pulled a Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair enough. There was a time in WWE where referees were just cannon fodder, but
They've been horribly in TNA.
Well, I'm sorry, but I meant to comment on the fact that the comedy wasn't make like I'm no longer looking at this from a wrestling lens. Looking at this at a comedy lens. That's what I meant to say. Like, hey, if we're just going to call it comedy wrestling, I'm going to look at it like it's comedy, and comedy's got to make sense. And it didn't make sense to make a 2 year old joke. Like if Celebration was still a thing and people were still getting flagged for it, yeah, that would have been funny. But
here's the
nobody's
thing:
getting flagged for it.
Here's the thing, though. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I'm a wrestling fan, not a football fan. So the joke worked. The fact you're both, it didn't. And I know even throughout that there were some things that did not work, but overall I had a good time.
Here's, though, another thing.
The fact that Dan didn't makes me love it even
better.
All right, so here's the thing on AEW. Do you remember Jon Moxley's podcast right after he left and kind of aired all of his grievances with WWE?
On Jericho's show?
Yeah, I believe it was Jericho was the first one. It was. But how is he going to like talk about how stupid some of the things WWE did and then like defend that?
Because he wasn't in that match. He was wrestling Brody Lee.
I know, but I'm just saying the company in general.
But no. See, here's the thing. Do you know the difference? He was saying it was stupid because it's something they wanted him to do that he didn't agree with. I can guarantee you everyone in that match agreed with it. That's the difference.
Yeah, but quality.
Yeah,
I mean, stupid.
No, that's not what it was about.
The argument isn't quality. The fact is, what you brought up by Moxley saying what he said on Jericho's podcast is that there was a bunch of people that gave us ideas and they didn't know what they were doing because they don't go out there. But the AEW perspective is like, no, we're going out there, so we're putting this together because we know what we want to put out. Whether or not you want to argue its merits as being a quality-based program, that's a different argument. The argument that Todd's making is that, and the reason why that's the counter-argument to Moxley is because these are coming from them, not writers.
And that's one thing. I feel like it should be better, the fact that they don't have like a million different people pitching all this stuff. It should be better.
I'm going to tell you this. Every wrestler thinks they could book the product better. So they just got a lot more of those people.
And there's tons of hands in the pot.
I can't believe it. I'm defending AEW.
I know, right?
But seriously, if they just had like one or two guys that could just like be the central nervous system, so to speak, of everything that's going on, there would be some sort of consistency and clarity, and like it would just come together, you know. Like when we talk about Dynamite, I can go more into detail because it was after the Stampede match. I was like, "All right, I'm gonna start taking notes," like because I didn't want to watch it again. Just because, well, like for me, like you know, even the comedy was like not great. Like for me, seeing, I apologize. The last thing I'm gonna say is, what's his face, Jake Hager? Multiple beer bottles to the head. It's like, this is not like this
it's
is
Roadhouse.
If they would have had a Terry Funk cameo, I would have popped.
There you go.
That would actually. Yeah.
No, I just you see these two guys every time you see these people on screen. They're fighting for the past like however many months. Oh no, but we're drinking. It's cool. Me as a viewer, it slowed things down when I'm supposed to be hyped for this main event.
Yeah. And that's the thing. There have been tense moments with all these guys in theory. So it's like you said, it's just now if Terry Funk showed up and did the ladder spot where he just like spins and kills everyone. All right.
So your problem is it wasn't the kind of comedy you wanted.
Let me ask
that's
you.
That's really, really.
I legitimately think you guys are taking this way too seriously. Like, it was just a stupid fun match.
It's exactly.
Rather Spaceballs is a stupid fun movie. But the reason why it's so fun is because a lot of the jokes in the movie make sense. Out of order, fuck. Even in the future, nothing works. That's hilarious because it's true. But when I see stuff that's trying to be funny that isn't true in real life, it's like,
but it didn't.
It's like
for
a 5-year old trying to tell me a joke. No, it's.
I guarantee you, the 5-year olds liked it. Five-year-olds like 13 okay. years, like, oh, this is kind of good.
Would as many people have liked this if the exact same thing came from like TNA or WWE?
WWE, no. Anywhere else, sure.
Yeah.
You think they would not say, TNA is so stupid?
If this was WWE and it had Matt Hardy, it would have been loved.
Now, I would have been a little more generous. I think they should have had Mox and Brody Lee go on last. It is your title, and that's your main event.
But the problem is that there's never been this type of a brawl happening in this type of a venue. And when that kind of occasion happens, it has to go on last. When it's a first ever, if it doesn't go on last, then it's not a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know.
Also, I'm going to tell you what.
Dan
has a thing. Like, if there would have been 50,000 really fucking stupid cameos that made zero sense, he would have loved it. Because
the main event.
Oh my God, you still would have.
No, I wouldn't. I could make it funnier for sure. And there are things they
you
could
make
it that.
Funnier.
Absolutely, I could do.
How
better.
Would you? Can we go into this? How would you make it funnier?
Well, I
have Harvey Weinstein cameos.
Oh, God damn it.
That's not wrestling oriented, Todd.
You well, figure it out.
It doesn't have to be. They were literally just on a football field.
Well, number one, I would have done this. I wouldn't have done it with your main event players. I would have. This would have been good maybe for some in card.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you build up
of fucking mid carders to close out the show or even in the mid card.
I don't. You're right. I probably would have done. If you're going to get that stupid, then yeah, throw in some cameos. I would have reached out to Cornette and said, "Hey, you show up and hit somebody with a tennis racket, we'll give you $100,000." Tony Khan got it.
Cornette wouldn't even have responded.
Oh, 100 money talks. If they gave him
what? I'm going to disagree with you on that. I know Ozzy's going to say the same thing. When Cornette puts his foot down, he's done.
He ain't. There's no amount of money. There's no amount. Because here's the thing. His perspective, I think, is the minute he goes on that show, he gives it legitimacy, is his perspective. And the minute that he gives that show legitimacy, in his mind, he's spitting in the face of everything that he's ever worked to accomplish.
I have a question.
He's also messing up his own fan base. Because if his fan base sees that he goes over, then his whole collectibles business goes out the door.
Here's the one thing, and I know even what I said, because I agree with that, though. There was one counter argument people don't bring up. Who did Jim Cornette hate than like almost anybody in the late 90s, early 2000s?
Hate more than anybody? Yes. Shit stain, Vince Russo.
No. That was that hate didn't come out till later.
Oh, okay.
Well, he hated him then, but.
Well,
Jim
Paul Heyman.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
and he
showed up
in the ECW arena with the King.
Yeah, but at the same time, the only reason I would say that would be different is because Paul Heyman came from like the same that like they feuded,
they're the same
which,
fucking with, person. They're they literally are. The same person.
On they just have different like viewpoints
on
wrestling. But I mean, they're the same person in that they feuded with each other, Midnight Rock and Roll. And like so that made sense to see Cornette show up and like, I think maybe if Cornette were to be presented with that today, I'm not sure he would have taken that.
That's my thing.
All right. I have a solution.
Because after seeing that, I think is when a lot of it went to like, this is bullshit, you know?
But I also don't think the hate was as severe as it is with this.
I have
a solution. Not nearly as much.
Yeah.
Not nearly as much.
That's your Daniel's final solution.
All right. The Bucks, whoever, but definitely the Bucks, brawling out of this arena and into a Wendy's. You do a shot of some fat guy you get from behind, like beating some lady with a tennis racket. Boom. Comical.
Well, if you want to do it properly, you have him go to Dairy Queen.
Oh, never mind. Dairy Queen. My bad. Yeah, Dairy Queen.
And he's got to be outside.
Ruin the joke.
It would be hilarious. You could just see him like smashing the sign with like a tennis racket from the back.
If they were really smart, they could actually have done that off camera, and you just had somebody sound like Cornette.
Even better, because wasn't Jericho in the car when this happened?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, he was.
CGI him. CGI, like old school, like Lionheart there.
You just get like
deja vu.
Can we just get Joel Gertner to play Jim Cornette for that segment?
There you go. Yeah, I'm just like, oh, man. And
okay, yeah, we approved it. So it's okay. We improved Dan's improvement.
If you're gonna get and if it's WCW, how are we not gonna have the Oklahoma version of Jim Cornette at some point? If I mean, they're basically doing WCW. Because why don't we have
that? Was rude? Yeah, no.
Imagine
it wasn't even like good. Like it wasn't. For me personally, it served zero purpose.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of just a waste of time. But I think that's the kind of taste it left in everybody's mouth. So if they tried to do that again, it would be like I don't think Cornette's the kind of personality that people want in that or even like to be joked about. I think personally, they'd rather just not give him attention because he's actually said, because there was an episode where Janela did something. Hold on a second, because it's. If you actually pay attention, I'm pretty sure Janela has been the only one that actually mentions him by name when he says, fuck you, Cornette. But other than like, you don't see shit, but I feel at the same time, like there's some subtle things when MJF was cutting a promo and he talks about people doing play wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like stuff. And then even Vince, when during the Triple H thing on Raw, and he says, I'm going to use a word that I've heard somebody dear to me use time and time again. Like, Triple H, your work was just rotten. Like, nobody else uses the word rotten. You know, like, and what's funny is that, here's what's hilarious, is that Raw is so bad that Cornette isn't even watching. So the pod after this show, they didn't even talk about that because they didn't know about it. Or maybe they knew about it, they just didn't want to give it attention. But I thought that was hilarious.
I mean, I don't know. I still think it'd be funny to have a fat comedian in the back, like calling the wrestlers like AIDS vampires.
That seems more appropriate for their web show, the Buck Show.
There you go. We'll do something. There you go. That would get a pop. That would go viral. Now, I do want to though do some like compliments to AEW right now. Brian Cage and Taz, money together if they don't screw it up. And, you know, Moxley, so far so good. I like what they're doing with his title reign for the most part. I mean,
give it a Cage.
Yeah, I that is true. I mean, you still have the former WWE guys, in my opinion, that are still kind of overshadowing everybody else. But MJF, definitely a future star. There are good things going on. I don't want to be totally negative, but
well, yeah, he's a breakout star. But like I said, from day one of you bitching, oh, it's all old WWE guys. They have to have people to draw. Sure. Open on day one, MJF is not drawing a soul.
Oh, absolutely. I don't disagree with that.
To build it off something, and that's what they're going to have to build it off of.
Let me ask.
If they want to be a national company,
sure. No, absolutely. And Jericho and Mox are certainly relevant. Let me a comparison though. Do you
I don't think Mox is important as people think he is.
I agree. Oh,
fair enough. But how would you rank AEW now versus TNA in the early days, where there were a lot of, but at that point, like, oh wow, these guys are going to be big, in my opinion.
There was a lot of these guys are going to be big, but that was a totally different era to compare it to. It like totally different. You just had every company closed, so there was a huge amount of talent they could pull together and make those new guys look good. So I don't know. It's just different than it is now. It's a different, not only is it different, it's a different type of talent now. Pretty much all the talents.
Not as good, you're saying? Or
no, I'm not. It's
said different.
Yeah, it's just different.
A lot of Hardy fans.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I thought of something else, actually. Never mind. I was thinking of the other Hardy. My bad. Well, because I tried Rebby? Watching SmackDown. I tried watching SmackDown, and then it opened up with Jeff Hart. I'm like, oh, motherfucker. And I just went to bed. Like,
They're hawking him.
They're really trying to make him look like trash. And then I was like, okay, so to somebody who does not know, that's Adam Pearce. Like,
they're Owen Harding him after Brett left. I don't mean that part, guys. Yeah. But I wouldn't do any kind of gimmick.
They're going to tag him with Jeff Jarrett, are you saying? And not going to be expected to get over, and then they get over.
I love that team.
No, they're a great team, but I think when they initially paired them, nobody expected anything.
What do you think about, and this is surprising in the wake of like Dark Side of the Ring, even just recently, of them doing a Jeff is drunk kind of storyline.
I didn't mean to change the subject into that. No, it's fine. Just when you said Hardy, I thought of that Hardy because it was more fresh in my mind.
No, we can segue. I really didn't have that much else to say about AEW. It's just,
well, still... are we going back to Dynamite though? Or
yeah, we can do Dynamite. Sure.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know if we're going to jump around or we just.
Well, because here's the thing. I got nothing else to tell SmackDown because I was like, I'm good. Like,
well,
there was people. That's all my positive comments.
It was better. I mean,
I don't think the people added anything to it. Honestly, I like the new ramp, the glare. I, for some reason, the extra shine gets me, but the people,
it reminds me of a hockey game.
Yeah. I think, it's Dan, for you, it's the illusion of it being better. It wasn't any better, but the fact that there was people there to you made it better. I don't think the show quality wise was any better than it, the weeks prior.
It felt like wrestling again, at least. You know, that's just my thing.
Congratulations.
I think that I'm glad you are enjoying it.
I did. Well, what do you guys think about the revolt now? Do you? I mean, does that excite you? Because
the way they came in did not excite me.
FTR is fuck the rest.
Yeah,
did they change?
Oh no, they're not. They're not the revolt. They've never been the. Yeah,
they did. They on Twitter they did announce they were going to be the revolt, and then well, I guess they just changed it to.
Oh, okay. So
No, they're saying it only means certain things at certain times.
I actually wanted to.
It's like their name. It's like Team 3D, I guess. Like it can mean whatever.
Before we get into that, though, something happened before here that I think completely buried Matt Hardy, and I think brought him down like two or three pegs. More similar to like
what signing Matt with Hardy AEW.
Became. No. No. Listen. Listen. Check this out. At the very beginning of the show, the Bucks ask Hardy for a different version of Matt Hardy, and he just obliges. So I'm curious, why would the 3,000-year-old Damascus cater to the desires of the Bucks? And then he comes out before the Bucks, dressed like the Bucks. So here you have a guy who just 2 months ago signed from WWE, and you're going to have him team with one of your most popular tag teams. You're going to have to dress like him as well, but you're not going to hype the fact that he's dressing like them? Like, that's weird to me. It's like, it would make so much more sense if the Bucks came out first or like, and now look at this Matt Hardy, and then he comes out like them.
But aren't they really just dressing like him if you want to go full circle?
That's a fair point. But what's funny is that then in the match, I can't remember which one, a member of the Private Party, his knee gets injured, and Matt Hardy has to help him out. And I remember thinking, like, why is Matt Hardy helping him, not his actual tag partner? And then when FTR showed up, it was like, oh, Matt Hardy needed to leave so the Bucks could have the spotlight with these guys. Got it.
I'm mad that they skipped over the often forgotten Fat Hardy era where he ballooned and he looked like he just like ate like 50 cheeseburgers.
That was the one Dan related to.
Why would they bring that up? Why would they bring that up?
It would be funny to see him come out like just in like a fat suit. I don't know.
It'd be funny.
And this is why Dan did the book.
Yeah.
Well, you never know, Todd. Maybe I'll get a job with AEW and I'll bring in Cornette.
You're overqualified.
The fact that you said maybe I'll join AEW and I'll bring in Cornette, in fact, seals the fate as you will never bring, because the fact that you said that,
if they offered him a deal,
he'll never fucking talk to you.
Managing the revolt, I think he'd swallow his pride. I think he wants to be involved.
It's not a pride thing. Insane.
I think he wants to be involved in the wrestling world.
Dan, like, to him, there is no wrestling world right now. To him, the wrestling world that he knows and the one that he's a part of and the one that he's known for is dead. And that's the reason why he's able to sell all his shit, is because none of the stuff is available right now. So he's able to sell his old VHSs for money, because people want to see that kind of wrestling. And he genuinely hates it and doesn't want to be a part of it. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't want to be a part of it. And B, he understands, like, from a business point of view, the minute he steps foot on that show, he loses his core audience. Because the reason the core audience listens to him is because he's the last bit of wrestling that they're able to hold on to. Or that style of wrestling.
As long as he doesn't make another Ethiopian joke, he's fine.
I listen to him for the Ethiopian jokes.
I have not watched NWA since they pulled him.
Me either.
Yeah, I lost. I will say, yeah, I'm way behind. I think I went.
At what point does way behind turn to I'm not watching it anymore, Dan?
I might get back into it at some point, but yeah, I mean, there wasn't.
There was points Dan would be like, oh man, TNA's so good. When was the last time you watched it? He's like, oh, I'm really behind. How far? Oh, it's been like 3 months. You can't tell me it's really good right now.
I was up until like that period where it looked like they were going out of business for real. I watched TNA loyally every single week.
No, that is bullshit, because you would tell me, oh, but it's been really good. And I ask you, and this was during the like murder angle. And I'm like, it's fucking stupid. You're like, well, I haven't watched. I just know when last time I watched it was good, like 3 months ago.
I've been doing pretty good lately. So,
well, lately, I'm not talking about lately.
Sammy Callahan. I think TNA is better than AEW right now.
That's not, all right.
I do. I don't.
I'm gonna go with AEW. I don't have a dog in the fight because I haven't seen.
I try to watch the other, and I just.
I want to see more RVD segments. I've seen some of those. Those are cool.
There you go.
See, that's RVD. The thing. You can just watch those clips on YouTube. You don't got to sit through all the other nonsense.
RVD's more interesting than he's been in probably 15 years right now. I mean, you know. Really? Yeah.
The triple.
Probably.
Are we going to get back to Brian Cage and how awesome he is?
Sorry. Yeah. The fact that RVD has basically two wives, I think, also makes him the most awesome he's been in his life. Anyway, yes, go on, Brian Cage.
Oh yeah, Brian Cage looks like he should murder pretty much anybody on that roster.
If he doesn't win the title, he's gonna look like shit.
Yeah, yes. I don't know why they're rushing into that. That's what's strange.
Because it makes the most. I really hope. I swear to God, if Moxley beats him, I'm gonna be so pissed. But this dude has main event quality all over him. I don't understand why Vince McMahon doesn't want him, or like if he knows about him, why doesn't he do anything he can to get him? Because he seems like the type of toy
he's that
McMahon
that
wants
guy,
to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but so is EC3, and look how that went.
EC3 is boring, and his ring work was just okay. Brian Cage can do everything, and now that he has a mouthpiece too, and Taz,
that's the kicker. I see like that, Heyman he's and Lesnar right there.
Yeah,
yeah. See?
Do you notice giving him his old catchphrase, "Win if you can, survive if I let you"? Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
I want him to throw his tail at him.
EC3 to me was not boring, but I agree he's an average worker. And WWE just didn't. He got blamed for that match with Ambrose that shouldn't have happened. And he just never got his momentum back. But yeah, Cage, I agree. I think that's going to end in some kind of a no contest, because I don't see him getting the belt right now.
Yeah, the first match out, I don't see it anything clean coming out of it. Or they could go the other way and just, holy shit, he won it clean its first time.
Do that. Yeah. Show some balls.
If Ambrose, or rather, if Mox wins and there's no, like, then the feud's over, then he's over. Like, in, I mean, as in done, obviously.
Yeah.
But
if you notice, like, Mox has... Mox has softened up on his WWE comments lately.
He's going back later.
Oh, man. Could you imagine?
Well, Roman's gone now, right?
Probably for a while until there's a vaccine.
When are you going to come back? They've stopped talking about you on the shows.
I was going to say we may get the Shield all back at like once.
That no, it'll be, away. But like, Mox will be in a like a slot match or something like that and lose against Henry Godwin or something.
I like the slot matches. I'm sorry. The one with Triple H was awesome.
That was the punishment period for the coming into the ring with the Outsiders. But I agree. I mean, looking at it right now, Cage should have that belt. He should have it for a very long time. It should be a dominant run where just nobody can quite topple him. And whoever eventually takes the belt, I don't think it should be some, you know, WWE guy. I think that's the time where it's like, we are going to make this damn star.
Darby Allin.
Well, got, you know what?
And I know, like, that small guy beating Cage, like, what the fuck? But at the same time, like, every fucking person would go nuts. Because he's like, he's not a WWE guy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's got that kind of personality that attracts
younger people. Yeah.
But I, like, risk seeing cutters. That happen, like,
I have a reason to live. Just throw it away.
But in terms of like who like the crowd can get behind, I don't see anybody else other than like Darby Allin, because even for me right now, like I'm starting to get like Cody sick.
I'm gonna throw a name out that's gonna make everybody upset.
No,
you know he's over as fuck. Orange Cassidy.
Oh, god damn, Bugs.
I know
you like him, but you're gonna.
I've softened up a little on him.
I don't want him to do that, but if what Ozzy just said still applies to the juice. Like, everyone knows him. He's always over. He's a tiny dude. David and Goliath story.
That would be, I mean, if
Otis winning the
I title. Just wanted to happen so Cornette explodes.
That would be pretty funny.
He would be the highest he's ever episode. Been.
I think he might literally spontaneously combust.
More murder hornets, please.
Live shot from Louisville.
More plague. No, let's be honest. If Jelly won it, that would be the ultimate for Cornette. But but you're
no. You're... If Janela won it, he would be like, oh, look at how cute he achieved his dream. Whatever the fuck, these people are fucking clowns anyway. But if Cassidy won it, he would be like, they got to stop calling themselves wrestling. Just call themselves AE. AED for AE dumb shit. He would go into like some tirade. Orange Cassidy would be the one because the fact that the very least with Joey Janela that it, on the argument, like if you were to actually ask him who's worse, Joey Janela or Orange Cassidy, he would say Orange Cassidy because the argument I believe would be at least Janela looks like he's trying to hurt you.
I want to know who he'd say if it was Orange Cassidy and Leo Rush.
Leo Rush, because Leo Rush can talk.
And he's also put over. He's
but
a
he also
guy,
is the one who
has a body.
A table
he,
fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That was insane. But I could, you know how they could do it? Have Brian book a match on Dynamite. Have Brian Cage just fucking murder him, which would be what you'd have to do right now. And then I don't know if he can do it in the ring or not and actually be credible in any way. Bring him back serious. Like that's what makes him finally give a shit. Cage just destroys him and he's like the saving grace who comes back and wins the miracle match. But again, It's like Otis, if they give him the belt, he can't have any kind of a run with the belt. So, and that's the problem. I don't think it's going to work with Orange Cassidy. I really don't. I think at some point, AEW.
I'm confused. Did you just like compare Orange Cassidy and Otis as like the same thing?
It's the same idea. Neither one is a main event. Now, maybe Orange Cassidy could be. I don't want to take too much away from him. Maybe he's, once he drops this gimmick, he can get it done. And
I believe Little Van Vader will eventually be a main eventer. If he just gets a little more serious. Yeah. Little Van Vader.
Hey, maybe. I don't see a lot. I mean, you're right. MJF is a future heel champion, 100%.
Yes.
And he could be the one to beat Brian Cage because you got to go face heel, heel face, blah, blah, blah.
And MJF would find the right way to cheat.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Jungle Boy?
Then Orange Cassidy gets it.
Yeah. Maybe Jungle Boy. I don't know.
I think he's got to have a run with the TNT title. Like he's gonna have a solid run with the TNT title to transition him, because right now like they're pushing him like one of the youngest stars in wrestling today. So it would make more sense for him to have like a strong lengthy run as TNT champion, so that way he got plenty of time.
Yeah,
It shouldn't be Cody. I'll tell you that much. I'm kind of with you. I like Cody, but
I like Dustin better at this point. But I've always liked Dustin.
I was going to say, Dustin's always been the better one anyway.
Cody's going to feel like they're Jeff Jarrett at some point.
He already does.
Yeah, I was going to say gonna. Like, they literally had an image of him saying, Cody's going to make an unprecedented announcement. An open challenge every week. I'm going to have a schedule that is unbelievable. I'm going to wrestle every week. Oh, like I've multiple times per week? No. Wednesdays.
Huh. I've been saying since they restarted this, this is the exact same thing as TNA.
Jarrett is spread over Cody and the Bucks, for me at least. That's, I'm getting that same feeling that I had seeing, like, when I'd hear Jarrett's music in TNA, it's like, God.
I still pop for Jarrett, though.
No, but you mean when it happened in TNA?
Yeah, I always liked Jarrett.
Because it was similar to Triple H when you kept, like, it was circa 2004.
There was a certain point, yeah.
When it, like, yeah, you just, man, it's always him, but at least Triple H or at least Jeff Jarrett, they're going to, like, they're going to figure out how, they're going to try at least, but I get the feeling with Bucks and Cody, it's like, how can we make ourselves look better? And Cody's cutting these promos that like has all these like dramatic pauses. And I understand he's the son of Dusty Rhodes, but like with the entrances and the Star Trek outfit and then the dog and
the neck tattoo,
the neck tattoo. And then he has the cute little tattoo on his truck. It's like, oh my God, like who has put a tattoo that they have on their neck on the hood of their car? Like who does that in real life?
Goldberg.
And
yeah, there
you go. Fair point. But
that's who
look at that. Look
Cage.
At the tribal tattoo and look at the neck tattoo. Look at the placements of the two of them.
Now,
and then look at the two of them. When you see Goldberg riding in on a muscle car and Goldberg gets out, at least the visual is like, I'm not going to fuck with him.
But
you see
Cody
getting out of a pickup truck, you're like,
what is this tank on?
Probably.
Yes.
But here's my thing with the neck tattoo and the logo on the car. But isn't it just his logo that he got tattooed on him? It's not his tattoo that he added on his car.
But the fact that this is how you're presenting yourself.
I know. I get that.
And maybe if it was more along the lines of not so professional in that he didn't show up to each show or show up wherever you see him in a suit. Cause the thing about Cody Rhodes is he's trying to like, and I get this, like it's paying homage, like it's paying respect. Like he's going to dress in suits or whatever. Right. So when you either see him in ring gear or in a suit. So when I see him pull up in a truck, it's like, there's something that's inconsistent. Somebody who would pull up in a truck and have their logo tattooed, or sorry, they're just their logo on this truck and that would pull into an arena, he wouldn't be the kind of guy that would wear a suit.
Now, if you would have
done a suit, like, you got to have the vest and the tie and the shoes, like, dude, jeans and boots. That's why it made sense when Austin did it. But yeah. Cody doing it, wearing a suit's like, this something doesn't
but
fit.
Does he get confused? I mean, does he not know his daddy wasn't Ric Flair? It was Dusty Rhodes who came out in the cowboy boots and the jeans?
There's an angle.
But
okay.
But I think it's because Dustin did that. That's why he wanted to go the other route, maybe. Is because there was a while when Dustin was coming out in the cowboy boots.
But he comes out with Arn Anderson. See, I think he's just confused. Once somebody, it's a little too much CTE.
Ric Flair is actual dad. There you go. I'm not related to that.
Man, if they built a feud like that, holy shit.
With that lisp, there's no doubt who daddy is.
And, but you know, go ahead.
No, it's just like, but I think I just have to add in again, because I'm just going to say it until it's over. I'm done seeing Brandi Rhodes everywhere. Like, he's trying to. And what's crazy is that Cody's in the ring cutting a promo, and they keep shooting a shot of her and that tag team. But that, the Natural Nightmares, but that tag team has nothing to do with this U.S. Open title thing. And then what's even worse is you have one of the guys, what's his face? Shit.
Apple dude, the trainer.
No,
guy?
I can't. Dustin's partner,
QT
Marshall or Marshall, but he's not even paying attention to Cody. And I'm thinking, like, are they trying to build a feud here? Like, why is the camera showing me him looking at his muscles?
Yeah, that was weird.
It's that like basic. Just
wasn't he hitting on that blonde chick?
That's I think. I don't know what's going on. That's the thing. Just,
I think he's trying to get his dick sucked.
You're trying to tell me, pay attention to Cody. He's trying to make an unprecedented announcement, but then you're showing me pictures or shots of this guy, and then Brandy's like, hey, listen to my husband. Like, what am I? I'm watching Saved by the Bell.
Brandy.
Saved by the Bell Wrestling.
I wish.
SBW.
Brandy's pretty to look at, and that's about it. I don't really see any kind of spot for her. I mean, the Nightmare Collective thing was dumb. It didn't fit them at all.
I did like that they just dropped it because it wasn't working. I thought that was like that's a good idea.
But yeah.
Yeah. Don't beat a dead horse. I agree. That was a good move to at least, you know, drop it. But
that was very indie of them, by the way.
To just drop an angle?
Yeah, just it never happened. An angle not completing, you know, normal indie stuff.
Yeah, I there's just a lot to do. And I'll be honest, again, I think TNA was way better than what they're giving. And I don't know why I skimmed over him, but Kenny Omega is probably who will eventually take that belt if they go with Brian Cage.
Brian was also doing that on Instagram recently. He's like, oh, people I want to wrestle here. Kenny Omega was the first name.
Yeah.
Not Moxley.
Okay, so here's what happens. Cage gets the title from Moxley, and then Omega wins it cleanly at All Out. Just because, like, I feel like, I mean, like, okay, yeah, it's all Elite Wrestling, and, you know, they're the elite, sure, but, like, it feels almost like sitcom-y, where I'm, like, seeing the same, like, I'm seeing the same guys. I'm seeing Cody and the Bucks and Omega. It's like, what? When was the last time Omega and Paige defended the tag team titles?
It's been a while.
They have all these tag teams, and you try to push this, like, no. And then also, our tag team matches are going to have counts of 20 instead of 10 for some more action. Great.
You know, I didn't even notice that.
but they said that the first episode. I don't know if that's ever been referenced back, or I don't know if they're still doing that. I think
was
it might
that
be
Pentagon
habit
and
for people.
Phoenix fault?
Right, that's a fair point. But I think people probably just gotten in the habit of wrestling, like, oh, I've been in here for, or is it, do I say 20 years at five? The count of five, now it's a count of 10, right? There
hasn't been anything. 10, 20.
No, not ring out.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the tag. Like, when the tag comes in, is it usually till it's a count of five that the partner has to get out? So they announced on the first episode, you'll have until the count of 10. There hasn't, like, this entire time, there hasn't been any match where that rule has caused an outcome to a match. Like, there needs to be something where the guys were in there too long, or not too long, but rather like for being in there 8 seconds, they were able to execute something else. And because they were able to execute that, like, something else happened. But basically this rule change, the one that you wanted to have so much attention on, it has no impact, or has proven to have no impact on any matches thus far. Because otherwise, they would beat that down. They're like, you're not going to find this type of action anywhere else because we're only allowing this here in AEW. You're not seeing that affect the result of any match whatsoever. So it kind of waters down the whole aspect of, oh, we're trying to be different, we're going to do this. Well, you aren't even showing why that even matters to be changed. You know, like, so stuff. I just want stuff to be like small stuff to be consistent, like the rankings.
That,
like,
yeah.
I love the idea of rankings, but you go on the website, it's like, how the hell does any of these rankings make sense?
They don't. I don't know why everybody. I agree. I like the idea of it, but nobody in wrestling can do rankings. Like, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, Ozzy.
Listen, I had reasons. I wrote reasons for rankings. That's what made it difficult.
There's like light coming from behind you, Ozzy.
There's light coming from
behind you. Do you guys see it behind his head?
Yeah, there's the light and shadow.
I think your ghost is coming out.
Nice. Sweet. What's up, ghosts? You want to say hi?
You see it?
It's Fat Hardy coming out of the lake. They have invoked my name.
I wasn't crazy, though. You all saw it, too.
Do you think, like, even Kenny Omega's star has faded to me? I mean, yeah, I know there's the marks that love him, but I don't know.
Never been a big Kenny Omega fan. I hate the way he sets up his runnings. It's too, like, he plays to the back of the crowd, which is awesome, but you're not at a, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, you don't have to move that big to get it over. Coming down.
And do you think AEW's popularity
that was
just
the sunlight, by the way.
Do you think AEW's popularity at this point is more burnout on WWE than anything they're really doing?
No, I think it's just those the fans are the super insider fans. That's why their numbers aren't going up.
Speaking of super insider fans, do you think super insider fans are interested in purchasing AEW action figures?
Yes.
I kind of want a Pentagon Jr., so yeah. That's the only place I can get one. I don't want any of the Elite.
Thing is that as I was watching this commercial, I'm like, this is a kid's commercial. Like, I get you have action figures out there, but this is a kid's commercial. You know, that's this like swap in WWE wrestlers, it would have been the exact same thing. And I don't know, and yeah, I'm sounding critical of it, but I don't know how you would best communicate, hey, check out our action figures now, other than make a commercial for kids.
Because see, here's the problem with that. You gotta have these Dans that were lucky enough that they were lucky enough to mate and have children. Because that's the only ones you're getting them, the ones that their parents are forcing. No, we don't play with the John Cena figure. You get Kenny Omega. No Fiend for you. You get Darby Allin.
I'm exactly with Kenny Omega and Darby Allin, like Eddie Murphy and Raw describes how his mom made him a fake hamburger. It's not like, oh, I gotta play with Omega. That's a visual popped in my head.
Don't give him a Kota Ibushi doll, or, you know, there might be some Barbie can action.
So, did we talk about the Britt Baker segment?
No, we didn't.
You know what? So I fast forwarded through it. I didn't even care. Okay.
Britt Baker, is that okay? She's great on the mic, but what was kind of frustrating is that Shivani was shooed away, and then she ordered, I think that was Rebby Hardy, because the makeup artist that was working on her before that, I don't know if you saw the clip where Pugs, that they showed a shot of interviewing Rebby, and then you saw Britt in the background being like, hey, what are you saying? Come here real quick. And then like they had a little talk or whatever. It was entertaining, but it actually was similar to more like a TNA backstage thing. But then she, in this segment, she shoos Shivani away, and then Rebby starts doing all the work, after Rebby's explained her frustration of working for her, they're going to put her out there with her. And they spent this whole time establishing that Shivani is Britt Baker's bitch and that he's had this, he's got something for her, but she's not making him do all the bitch work. And to me, it was just, it seemed like this is too much. You could just get her out of the way and just keep those two and keep it no more than a minute, minute and a half. Like, stuff just be cleaned up together, you know? That's that I just written down there when I'd had this written down and wanted to share before we moved on.
Yeah, I like her, actually. It's weird because I thought she was going to be their first champ, which they've really kind of made a mess of the women's division, in my opinion, from the beginning. Riho, and then Nyla Rose. Keep your
hate speech down.
They haven't chosen well. There's plenty of great female talent that they could have put the Rocket on. And I like Hikaru Shida, don't get me wrong, but I don't know, not a star. And I don't think she's going to be a star. Yeah. Britt Baker.
That match confused me. Well, JR called Christy Janes a handsome woman, which stuck out of my head. But the finish was a lion salt, elbow, knee, pin, kick out. She hyped the crowd, then Falcon Arrow, 3-count win. I'm just like, why didn't she just do the lion salt, elbow, then the Falcon Arrow, and just end? Like, what's the point of a face doing a series of moves to get the kick out and then hype the crowd and then do the finisher? Like, it just...
And was basically an enhancement match anyways.
It was just... Yeah. No, but it was... My point is, it was just moves. There was no... There's nothing... It didn't feel like an effort was made to at least make a finish make sense.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Is there anything you guys also want to say about the women's division? Because I wanted to bring up the tag match between Sabian Havoc and SCU.
No, not really. Just they need to do better.
Yeah, okay, so check this out. Here's what I found funny. So when they said, okay, we're going to have a tag match, it's going to be Jimmy Havoc versus SCU, and the winners get a tag title shot or a title opportunity. And I'm thinking, okay, and then I see them come out, and then I see their rankings. I was like, huh. And then I decided to look at the rankings. And then so when I look at the tag team rankings, it's just funny. Five are Bucks at 2-2. Number four, Evil Uno and Stu Grayson, Dark Order at 5-0. Ranked number three, Private Party at 4-2. Number two, Natural Nightmares at 4-0. And number one, this is ranked number one at 9-3, are the Best Friends. However, we're getting Super Bad and Jimmy Havoc versus SCU, and the winners get a title shot. Listen,
before you finish that though, didn't they say like some things changed just because of the fucking coronavirus? Like some things will be altered because of that.
Then that's got to be mentioned when you're hyping that particular match.
Well, don't
when you say the winners just get a tag title shot. Normally, this is not based off our rankings because of certain logistic restrictions right now. But that's got to be effectively communicated because someone could just pull up the rankings and be like, well, how come these two teams got this shot when these five? I mean, and Natural Nightmares were in the crowd. That's the thing. The number two ranked tag team were in the crowd while this tag match was going on.
You pointed out, though, earlier moments ago, that they're not the best at hammering stuff home. Because you mentioned the 10 count in the first for the tag match, it's never been referenced again.
Right, and I get that. But at the same time, my argument is that they're still trying to hammer it home by attaching rankings next to people's names when they come out and win-loss records. If you got rid of that, then it would be a little easier to accept the other stuff that happens.
I don't think that there's a reason to change the fundamental rules of what wrestling has been, at least in the U.S. in the last several decades.
But you like Impact, TNA, right?
No, I'm going to get on that. That was a criticism. When they did that, what was it? I've already forgotten the belt. But when they were doing those rounds.
No, I'm not talking about that. They changed the fundamentals of wrestling when they introduced a six-sided ring that was loved by many people, Dan included.
But it didn't change the rules.
It absolutely changed the fundamentals of wrestling. I knew you said the fundamentals of wrestling, not the rules.
100%.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's all right. I meant more it's still a free, you have to win the same way, you lose the same way. I mean, it's, but I'm talking about the rankings. I don't get, I don't think that adds anything really. And it, sometimes they're going to paint themselves as a foreigner. I don't think that, again, I would go back to TNA because I could see them doing the same thing. We're going to have rounds and it's going to be, those matches were so boring and TNA just kept hammering that. It killed Sandow. Probably the first thing he wasn't able to get
well,
over.
His whole TNA. I think he was just lucky in WWE.
His stuff in NWA was looking good before.
Yeah.
Before stuff went down.
His TNA run was just bad.
It was. Well, and that was also like the darks. That was pretty much broken mats all they had going for them at that point. But I don't know. I just compelling storylines. You don't need to change the count. You don't need to have ranking systems, which again, they're always going to fuck up. So,
right. Well, there's just one last thing I wanted to say about the show and then we can move on or go on whatever. I wanted to talk about the pep rally at the end, which I mean, what's funny about this is the team that lost and it's almost like the losing team celebration. Like, whereas the winning team would get a celebration, this is their pep rally is the losing team get a celebration. I understand you could use the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Jaguars as the, you know, their cheerleaders and add all this. Sure. But again, what really annoyed me about this whole thing is so the, you know, Tyson comes out and the whole back and forth happens between him and Jericho. And then when they start to like go at it, not one person looked at this and saw like, oh, they really hate each other. Like, come on. Like everybody was ready to come out. They came out immediately. Like it felt so planned. I don't know, with one of the guys had two black eyes by Tyson, but what really pissed me off is that earlier in the night, we heard Cody talk about how he wasn't the number one call. He wasn't the number two call. He wasn't even the number three call when we talked about it. You know, yeah, he was the four or whatever, but basically the essence of the promo was like, I wasn't the top choice to come here. Right. However, the very end of the night, when we see chaos ensue between Mike Tyson and Chris Jericho, who do we see ordering people around? Cody, the same guy who we just heard an hour ago say, I wasn't supposed to be good enough. But he's ordering. What is going on? I don't know what's going on. I literally don't know what's going on. And SmackDown is doing much better. Like as referenced earlier when I said Adam Pearce, if you don't know who Adam Pearce is, you're watching this and be like, who is this guy? And why is he? I mean, they tried to do away with authority figures, but now we're going to throw this authority figure in there. Like, I just want to know what's going on. That's all I want from wrestling is I just want to know what's going on. And I just want consistency. That's it. Like,
I thought you were going to.
But see, wait. But you know what's going on.
Makes sense.
So it makes
sense. Knowing going. Makes sense. Okay. What I personally want from wrestling is I want it to make sense to me. When I say make sense to me is that I'm very lenient on stuff and all like, well, you know, maybe so-and-so and this could have happened. Very lenient. But like if it's like if two different ballparks, it's like don't make me do that much work. Like let me just come in and escape, you know, with some fun stuff and then, you know, whatever. But the minute you make me do all this work to try and connect your own gimmicks that you should be helping me with, it's like, dude, like come on.
So, yeah. We had enough of Dan. But I mean, honestly, is there anything else, gentlemen? Dan was so frustrated he had to go.
That was all I had for Dynamite.
Yeah, I didn't really have anything else.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to Cage. Like, it's not my favorite product, but even my favorite product is not my
Cage
favorite product
Taz,
at the moment.
Cage and Taz is going to be, like, if they awesome. Do that right, it's so much fun.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't, rather entertaining.
I don't have a favorite a favorite right now.
Well, so. I love The Fiend, and he's not showing up, so, like, I'm
yeah.
But Also, it would suck if he's there and he, like, nothing happens, because like he does need a
crowd. He's gonna have some time off though, you know that, right?
Is he?
Yeah, for the birth of his second child.
Okay. I figured.
Couple weeks.
You're gonna see another job.
SIDS, get here sooner.
On that note, Dan, do you want to take us home?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we will be back. I'm sure we'll talk about NXT in your house. It's good to kind of have an AEW episode that we actually focused more on. So we hope you enjoyed listening to this.
Yeah.
Be sure on Facebook to join.
Hold on. We're not going to talk about NXT at all.
We can if you have something to say.
Well, I just like to say that the cage match was fucking awesome.
I had a lot of complimentary things to say. I love that cage match and the way they, you know, Kurt Angle reffing it. When did they tape this? Because Kurt Angle and Drake Maverick were there.
They're still there.
Well, Drake obviously is re-signed. There's no way.
Oh, I see. Okay. No, I wasn't sure if this was just taped like way in advance or these guys were just brought back for one-offs or whatever.
I think they do two episodes a week. So they might have been like.
Well, here's the thing with like Kurt and like some of the other agents that got let go, because the speculation is house shows are never going to return. So they don't need all those extra agents. So just because they were released, furloughed, whatever, doesn't mean they won't be used for like one-offs. Any other. Yeah. Well,
I have to stop you there, though, Todd. They're already talking about doing more shows. I don't think they'll ever do as many, because why, if you're not making money? But Kurt was getting paid through July. If you remember, Sarah Logan was still booked, even though she was released. So I think with Kurt, though, I heard a rumor today that he might be re-signed because they don't want him to go to AEW, which is what they should stop doing. But, you know, looking at what his last run in ring, I don't really see what he's going to bring to AEW, to be honest. So let him go. I mean,
fuck that. Yeah. No ropes, all cage. Fuck yeah.
That was a cool match. I hope to see more. What did they call it now? Shit. Pit fight? Was that?
That's what it was.
That came off really, really well. I was like, oh, is this just going to be like.
Well, and then you also had two guys that made it work.
Yeah.
Because you could also put two guys in there that will mess it up bad.
Yeah.
I did want to make a quick appreciation on the joke. Now, I don't know if this kid's name is actually, his gimmick name is actually Adrian Alanis, but the fact that under his breath, Gargano was like, wait, are you sir? Like, that made me laugh because I saw him mouth Adrian Adonis.
And he's under contract.
When I saw this guy come out and he was Adrian Alanis, I was like thinking, like, did they name this kid that just so they could do that joke? Or is this kid really trying to be Adrian Alanis?
I would have popped so hard if Adrian Adonis started skipping out. Only if he got some offense in on Gargano, though.
Yeah, but I just appreciated that moment that literally made me laugh out loud.
The fact that Adrian's dead doesn't, you know, bring a problem to that
Adrian's
idea.
Not dead.
Wow, oh, Adonis. Look on your face just
fuck.
Now.
I was thinking Adrian Street. Never mind. My head's somewhere else. Adrian Street. Yes.
On that note,
I'm retarded. Yeah.
Yes, you are, but we know that. You're our favorite retard.
That's Eugene. Don't lie. So, anyway.
We're going to get you a bird for next week's show.
That's messed up. I got Adrian Adonis and Adrian Street mixed up. Adrian Street is under contract, and that would have been pretty cool if he came out. But
cool.
So anyways, we will be back. We'll cover In Your House, which I'm kind of happy they're bringing that back. So we'll cover that. And
because that was a great concept.
It's
I nice. Like the entrance.
I like the name and the look, but yeah, it's just another show. It literally, that's all it was.
I've got to piss like a racehorse.
All right, Rabbit Dan.
All I want to say is King Mabel. I wish he was still with us, and then he could come out for you.
Because they're like, all right, let me know, Dan. Bye.
All right, we're out.
Goodbye, guys.
You have a good night.